All right, it's Dave Player back with you live from the Allstate Showcase Studios here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. So for the past 92 years, Route 66 has delighted travelers for generations. It wasn't the first highway in America. And others may have covered more ground and had much more traffic, but the most well-known highway in this country is the Mother Road. Now, there's a terrific book out there that focused on our home state called Route 66 in Illinois. Between the great cities of Chicago and St. Louis, there are 300 miles of adventure, history, culinary delights, and quirky attractions. Joining us live this morning to help you get some kicks down Route 66 is Cheryl Eichardt-Jett. She's the author of the book Route 66 in Illinois and our very resident historian and Route 66 enthusiast, Dave Schwann. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Dave and Dave.
Good morning. Cheryl, you're celebrating the road right now with the 4th Annual Illinois Route 66 Blue Carpet Corridor Festival, where you also serve as president. The theme this year is Miners, Mobsters, and the Mother Road. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that event came about several years ago, sort of in response to the Red Carpet Corridor, which, of course, is about the approximately northern third of Illinois, Route 66. That event's been going on for about a dozen years now. So some of us that volunteer for tourism purposes down in this part of the state thought that we should get the Blue Carpet Corridor annual event going, too. And we adopted that tagline of Miners, Mobsters, and the Mother Road because of the rich mining history and, of course, the legendary Al Capone and all of his buddies that used to frequent this area as well.
Dave, what about you? How did you fall in love with Route 66?
Well, I started Route 66 when I was a child, actually, before I-55 was done. My mother's relatives lived in Alton, Illinois, so when we would go down to visit, we got on U.S. 30 for a little ways to Joliet and then headed southwest on good old 66. So I knew of this in the 1960s, long before 55 was done and long before it was decommissioned. So I have a more or less of a lifelong love affair with
you. You really do. And you sent me some pictures this week.
Did you get the ones I sent yesterday?
I did. Okay. Absolutely amazing shots and such a slice of Americana. And you've taken some road trips, you know, just as a fan,
right?
Last couple times with your dad,
right? We did the last one was in 2009 with dad, and dad, before I was born, my mom and dad drove the whole thing in 1954.
Wow. Wow. And that was vacation. And how long did that take, though, Dave?
That took a full 7 days. Had to, if not more. Dad tells stories also about how coming back into the Chicago area, again, way before I-55, traffic would be backed up coming into this area as far back as Dwight.
Wow.
So it was a mighty slow ride
yeah.
from south of Joliet to Dwight. Cheryl knows what I'm talking about there. And coming in, it was just a kind of creep and stop because you had everything on 66.
You did.
Trucks, cars, everything.
Yeah. Cheryl, how did you fall in love with the road?
You know, I think, like Dave, I did as a child because I remember my first trip on Route 66, also with my parents, sitting in the back seat, and my parents seemed to think that it was a good idea to teach me how to read a map as a youngster, and I believe that they kind of let me think that I was navigating the whole trip, you know?
I love that.
So my love affair began also as a child, as Dave did, with those memories, sitting in the back seat of the car and watching everything go by, you know, as you roll down the highway. And I always had that map in my hand. I was always fascinated by the maps and the correlation of the map to the highway, to the signage. And so it just it was just always sort of there in the background for me. Always Route 66, just always there.
And this number 66, it was assigned like back in 1926 in Springfield, Missouri. But the idea, Cheryl, for creating this road began long before that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, of course, the whole federal numbered highway system was created in response to aggravation, let's say, across the country with the state of the roads, which was virtually nothing. So in November of 1926, the entire federal numbered highway system was created, And, of course, our beloved road was supposed to be number 60, but a couple governors in other states kind of kicked up a kerfuffle because that number 60 with the zero on the end, of course, indicates a very important and most likely cross-country or transcontinental highway, which it was not, as it was going up to Chicago instead of on east. And so that's how we ended up with 66.
Now, at the time of all this, the U.S. Highway 66 Association was established to promote the complete paving of the highway from end to end and then promote travel down the highway because, first of all, the road had to be completed.
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely. There weren't many paved roads, particularly in the western states, but of course we already had a paved road that could accept that 66 designation in Illinois with the paving of the old Route 4 in the early 1920s.
Now, Dave, long distance travel wasn't very common because really there was no easy way to get from east to west, right?
Yes, that's right. Not only that, as Cheryl was saying, and as you were a moment ago, the road had to be completed. There were it was kind of networked together in a kind of a patchwork way in the late 1920s with farm roads and even dirt roads in some cases. But when it was finally done, it was a continuous line, more or less, a paved road. Don't forget, car travel was pretty rough around 1930. You know,
you didn't
have all of the amenities and the luxuries that you have with car travel today.
No heated seats.
You know what? You mentioned no heated seats. I'll tell you a story. My father grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they went over to Detroit for Thanksgiving every year. Well, it was cold already in November, and they his mother would put heated water bottles in the back seat with blankets over the dad and his two sisters. And it was a 4-hour trip from Grand Rapids to Detroit. It's not that far.
With no significant heater. I mean,
with no significant heater.
Yeah,
so you had all of that to contend with.
That's wild. Cheryl, the route has obviously shifted and changed, though, over the years.
It has. It has. And its appearance has changed so much. When people come to me sometimes and say, oh, we probably can't drive much of Route 66 anymore, can we? And they're sort of surprised when I say, no, you can drive better than 85% of it. But the fact that, as Dave was saying, that it finally, after being sort of networked together, that it became one contiguous road. But then the reverse happened after it was decommissioned, and different sections of the road became maintained by DOTs or county or township or city or village maintenance, which accounts for the difference in the appearance, the difference in the pavements, or the level of maintaining. So as it was cobbled together at a start, it's sort of become cobbled together again in that sense.
Wow. And I think this might surprise some people, but Chicago's Route 66, Dave, originally began at Michigan Avenue and Jackson Boulevard, I think, right?
Yes, Michigan and Jackson. What happened was when Jackson went one way east and Adams went one way west, the road kind of split. But, you know, many, many years ago, Jackson, I guess, ran, or Adams may have run east and west. Roger's nodding his head over here.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Well, as traffic picked up in the city to help ease traffic flow, they started changing directions of a lot of streets that were two-way and started making them one-way in one direction or the other. And that has gone on for decades now throughout especially the downtown area.
Yeah.
And I think it started before they started deciding to straighten out Lakeshore Drive.
Okay.
Which actually split through the museum, what is now the museum campus.
Right.
Remember, it used to split. The northbound used to go closer towards the lake around Soldier Field.
Yes.
To the east
That's
of Soldier
right.
Field
That's
and then
right.
come back
That's
and merge
right.
north
yeah.
of all that.
Yeah. But, you know, places, institutions here in Chicago, like Lou Mitchell's Restaurant, which is right on Adams. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, when you had east and westbound traffic there, they got the best of it. Not to mention people coming in at Union Station.
Yeah. Let's go there for breakfast at 5.
Dave, I'm there.
Right after the
let's
news.
Go.
Shut down the station. We're all going.
We're all going. Cheryl, let's go. We'll wait for you, dear.
That's no fair. I'm a few days away to do that.
That's awesome.
I'll meet you at the Ariston Cafe for lunch, Cheryl.
Oh, there
how's that
you
sound?
Go. Look
that
at
sounds
you.
Good. That's
look
a deal.
All right, we're talking Route 66, and if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. This very, very, very rainy Sunday morning. And we're talking Route 66 with Cheryl Eichardt and Mr. Dave Schwann, who's been down this road a couple times and really documented this unique trip that you've made. You know, I'm going to first ask Cheryl. Cheryl, going back to your book from a few years ago, Amazing Stories, highlighting so many of the attractions. Pictures are fabulous. You really kind of tell the story starting in Cook County and DuPage County and going right through Illinois.
We do. We do. We spent, as you know, I co-authored that book with Mr. Joe Sonderman of St. Louis, and we made a lot of very enjoyable trips up and down the road in Illinois to obtain the pictures, of course, and to gain clarification on some of the stories that we wanted to include. And so that was a real joy, a real labor of love on that book, which we worked on for over a year before actually turning it into the publisher. But we did do it in geographic or county order, moving downward through the state. That seems to be a format that people respond to well, because they can just visualize that trip, even if they're sitting in their armchair.
Tell me some of the highlights. You know, I mean, obviously there's so much to see as far as not only the restaurants, but the gas stations where they're pumping your gas for you, and some of the other museums and so forth along the way. What are some of the highlights in Illinois? You know, people don't have, you know, Dave was saying, you know, it took 7 days to get across the country. I mean, it's a great trip if you can take some time off and do that. But even if you're exploring Route 66 in Illinois itself, there's so much to see going all the way straight through the state. What are some highlights for you?
Well, some of the highlights, of course, and the things that I recommend, particularly if people don't have several days to get through Illinois. Of course, we'd prefer that they do take several days to go through Illinois, but if they don't, of course, some of the must-sees are the Pontiac Museum Complex and the murals and all that sort of thing. Pontiac's just become really a blend of the old and the new to present the story to visitors. Some of the great eateries, and of course, you've got to include, as Dave mentioned, the Ariston Cafe in Litchfield, which some people don't know actually was established in Carlinville, and it moved over to Litchfield when the Route 66 alignments moved over. And that's certainly a highlight. One thing that I'm particularly interested in and excited about is the fact that Illinois seems to keep reinventing itself as far as some of the older establishments that may sit empty for a while, and someone comes along and buys it and showers a lot of love on a place and opens it back up again. And we've got several in that category right now.
That's great to hear that this history is, of course, being preserved. Dave, tell us about some of the highlights you and your father have taken down there and some of the places that you've enjoyed.
Well, certainly, as Cheryl just said, that people have reopened places with a labor of love. A perfect example of that is in Atlanta, Illinois. There is an Atlanta, Illinois around Bloomington, Lincoln. Yeah, Bloomington. Cheryl, where? Help me out here. Is it Bloomington? Closer to Bloomington? Atlanta?
Yes, Atlanta's between Lincoln and Bloomington.
Right, okay. But some people have reopened a restaurant that was in this little town, and it's called the Palms Cafe. It's a pleasure to see the place. You talk about a throwback. It's just wonderful, and they've done such a marvelous job there. So there's one highlight. The Ariston is another. The thing I enjoy about Illinois is that if you take the original alignment, which is now some state highways and county roads and so forth, you go through these wonderful little towns, in some cases maybe even neighborhoods, in residential areas, and it's hard to imagine that was at one time a U.S. highway.
Wow.
So you get to see that and you get the feel of it. Another eatery, Cheryl, you know the Log Cabin Inn in Pontiac.
Oh, yes, definitely.
That's
on the
a
edge
treasure.
Of Pontiac.
That is a treasure.
Which was incidentally turned around when the alignment
right.
changed.
They moved the building.
Really? Oh, I love that.
They moved the building.
I love that. But I mean, like White Fence Farm, you'd mentioned Lou Mitchell's. The Berghoff is on that route, of course, in Chicago. But
yes.
Delray's Chicken Basket, which I've been to before as well. But then there's...
You'd better be hungry when you go to the chicken basket.
You should, right? I know, that's totally true. But dozens of museums I saw along the way. But the gas stations, you know, we mentioned the gas stations or the truck stops or there's still a couple drive-ins, like the Skyview Drive-In that's along the way, the Beer Nuts Factory. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff that just has hung on and is just so great to see. You almost got to look at the route and plan those little places that you're going to go, right?
Oh, you definitely have to plan this in advance just because of the makeup of the road. Then again, allow yourself some, what they say, serendipity or some surprises along the way. You know, allow yourself some time to discover things when you move. You're going to get lost.
Yeah.
You're going to get lost in places, but that can be part of the fun. Roger's nodding his head going, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, Roger, what's some of the highlights like? What's like one of big Illinois highlight for you, right, driving this road?
You know what? I can't give you a specific one. Again, I mentioned to you earlier that we went down 1976, mm-hmm. and it was the first time I had really paid attention to it, and it was kind of a plan. We were moving to Vegas, and I says, I want to take 66 before it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think the highlight was knowing that I was going to have to go through these small towns that I would never, ever have thought of going through and actually taking time to go through them. In other words, not just saying, all right, here we are. We got to go left here, right there, and then boom, we're out and back on the road. Actually stopping and looking around and seeing what's in that town and seeing what grew up around this major highway that is historical.
And absolutely. More often than not, you'll end up talking to the locals there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that was the highlights.
Yeah, talking to the people along the way. And Cheryl, you were mentioning 3 days maybe to get through Illinois. So you can take this a week's vacation, a Saturday through a Sunday through the following weekend, and really explore the state. And that's how I encourage folks to do this, because we've done parts and pieces of Route 66 in Illinois as well. And it is just so much fun. It's a great start just to get a slice of American pie as you drive the mother road. But let me ask you one more question, both of you. Is Cheryl, like, obviously you've gone all the way to California. What is the one favorite place from Illinois to California? I know that's a tough one, but something you always look forward to.
I think I would have to say, and this is not a specific attraction or a specific eatery. In fact, I just got back from a 66 trip, I think, two nights ago. Not all the way to California. This was just an Illinois to Albuquerque run. But I think one of my absolute favorite things is driving the old road in Oklahoma. Oklahoma has just magnificent stretches of old pavement, much of it with the curbs on the side, and you're just rolling along. It's just a beautiful tree-lined road. And
what,
you know,
about
that,
the bridges, Cheryl?
Ka-clunk, ka-clunk on the highway as you drive it.
Dave, you mentioned the bridges.
The bridges, some of the old steel truss bridges that are there.
Oh, Oklahoma has magnificent bridges that you can still drive across.
Yep.
Dave, what about you? What's the big highlight outside of Illinois that you just, you'll really look forward to, big smile on your face?
Big smile on the face in general when you get in through Illinois, and I love Illinois, Missouri, and then 12 miles through Kansas. But once you get into Oklahoma and Texas, as Cheryl said, the road is a wonderful place there. Everything just opens up. The terrain becomes different. There's a gradual transcending thing that goes on as you head west, and just if the sky opens up, you can start to see 50 miles, 70 miles in front of you. And then one more eatery real quick is way out in a tiny town called Truxton, Arizona, the Frontier Cafe and Motel. I sent
Did you stay there?
Pictures of that. No, I've eaten there.
Okay.
But I haven't stayed there. But the Frontier Cafe and Motel is one of those gems also. Just the fascination of just being out there. When they talk about being out west in the wide open spaces, you feel it.
That's very cool. And it's the bicentennial of Illinois this year, too. So there's lots of events on Route 66 as well. And you can check out those events at IllinoisRoute66.org for more. Cheryl's books include Route 66 in Illinois and Springfield, Kansas, Madison, many more. And you can find those at Amazon or wherever books are sold. And you have a blog as well, Cheryl, right?
I do. It's Route66Chick.com. And I take ribbing over that.
I love it. I love it.
Particularly from friends and family members that are particularly interested in women's history and women's rights, and kind of give me a bad time over using that term, but it's sort of a fun and lighthearted thing.
That's right, and, as is Route 66.
Absolutely. So it's fitting. So I'm a rather erratic blogger with all my other projects, but I do try and turn out some new posts occasionally.
I love it. I love it. And of course, you'll find Dave Schwann in the newsroom every weekend on 720 WGN. My thanks to you both.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Cheryl.
All right. Thank you.